Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, we got a lot to talk about here on this Freedom Friday here with Montana Talks. The rioting in the streets of L.A., the terrorists in Tehran, and the senior terrorist leaders in the IGRC being wiped out in the streets of Tehran by our friends in Israel overnight. They also took out key chunks of their developing nuclear weapons technology as well. Definitely want to hear from you guys about a whole host of things, so we'll be taking some of your phone calls here in just a few minutes. But hey, before we get to the streets of Tehran or the streets of L.A., let's talk about the roads right here in Montana. What an honor to be joined by Sergeant John Metcalf with the Montana Highway Patrol. Sergeant Metcalf, thanks for your time here on this Friday morning. Great to have you on the program.
Thank you for your time, sir. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's a Friday, and looking at all the craziness all over the world, we're so thankful to live in Montana, aren't we?
The best place in the country.
Yeah, that being said, you know, hey, it can be dangerous here as well, whether it's grizzlies in the backcountry or just the road to get to the backcountry. Talk about this 100 deadliest days. I know Attorney General Knutson and the MHP are trying to get the word out.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's a big priority from the Attorney General's office and then the Highway Patrol to really promote safe driving during this time period. It's called kind of the 100 deadliest days, but it's the time period between Memorial Day and Labor Day, and typically that's when we see the most amount of highway fatalities compared to any other time during the year.
Which is kind of crazy when you think about it, because you would think the deadliest time would be in the heart of the winter when you've got just nasty ice and snow and drifting snow and lack of visibility, but maybe people take more caution then.
I think that's true. You know, most of the fatal crashes we get in Montana, they're almost always linked to speed, impaired driving, and people not wearing their seatbelts. So if we can make an effort to drive the speed limit, not drive impaired, and, you know, when people think about impaired, I think often people think just alcohol. But illegal drugs can impair people's ability to drive. Marijuana is a major thing now that we're seeing that impairs people's ability to drive. Certain prescription medications. So people need to drive sober, and then, of course, wearing your seatbelt.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the numbers here as you talk about how the 100 deadliest days of summer, that time period that we're in right now between Memorial Day and Labor Day, 65 traffic fatalities in Montana from January 1st through May 21st, which is nearly the same as the 66 that had occurred during the same time last year. Anyway, we'll talk about that and much more here with Sergeant John Metcalf from the Montana Highway Patrol. Speed limits, you know, all the congestion from the tourist traffic and so much more. How to navigate the rules of the road and stay safe during this 100 deadliest days of summer. Stand by. More with Sergeant Metcalf right after this.
Donald Trump's America.
President Trump is following through on a campaign promise, Press Secretary Caroline Levitt says.
When the president spoke about his commitment to removing violent illegal criminals and anyone who has broken our nation's immigration laws.
Levitt says even as anti-ICE protests expand the cities across the country, the administration is not changing policy.
The Trump administration is going to continue the mass deportation effort that the president promised the American public.
Levitt says hundreds of undocumented migrants have been arrested in and around L.A., where protests turned violent this week. About 500 National Guard troops have been trained so far to accompany federal agents on immigration raids, a commander for the Guard told the Associated Press. All troops deployed to protest, he says, are undergoing several days of training to deal with civil unrest and legal requirements. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I had a little fun there with Sergeant Metcalf from the Highway Patrol. I spent the whole three-minute break going over my pet peeves on the road. Slower traffic, keep right. These people that just camp out in the left lane, they're going below the speed limit. Yeah, you are part of the problem if you tie up the left lane and don't allow traffic to get through. You know, traffic congestion is, I think, another thing that can create danger on the roadways. That's my perception, at least. I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Well, the good news, sir, is we do have a left lane camping law. So you're not allowed to drive in the left lane on the interstate slower than the speed limit holding up traffic. So we do have a remedy for that.
That's great, and I think I've even seen it enforced a time or two. These people that will camp out in the left lane, or I was driving with one of my kids across town the other day, and there's a guy in front of me, and he's going way below the speed limit, and it's like, okay, like, you know, I'm not going to judge you. Like, you do you, you know, do what you feel is safe. But then I can see the light, and I'm like, this guy is going to get us stuck at a red light. But I'm not in a hurry, so I'm not going to get too mad about it. But then I called it. I said, this guy is going below the speed limit. He's driving slow as hell. He's in no hurry whatsoever. But you watch. He's going to be in a hurry to run the red light. And he did that. He ran through the red light. It's like you're not in a hurry to go the speed limit while you're driving. But then you're in such a big hurry, you're willing to risk somebody's life by running a red light. I just don't get some of these people. They're just in their own world.
Yeah, I mean, he could have been distracted or impaired. There's a lot of different reasons, you know, people that unfortunately don't drive safely.
It's so easy on nice days like today, which most of the state of Montana is going to enjoy some nice weather. I think you're in Helena, nice weather day for you. It's so easy to kind of just take things for granted, and then that's when the complacency kind of sets in.
Absolutely. You know, you can be driving in a nice car. You got the air conditioner going. You got your music going. You got your, you know, cup of iced coffee. And if you're driving 80 miles an hour on the interstate, you're covering 120 feet per second. And I think that perspective often gets lost when we're in our comfortable cars.
Yeah. And it may not be something you do wrong. It could be something that somebody next to you or in front of you does wrong that causes all chaos to ensue. You talked about you know, speeding and then impaired driving as being two of the key factors behind the 100 deadliest days of summer. What does the Highway Patrol do, you know, if you think you have an impaired driver? I mean, everybody always assumes it's alcohol, but with all the marijuana products out there now and prescription drug abuse, what do you do? How do you check for not just alcohol, but for all those other things?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, Aaron. So how we process DUIs on the side of the road, we're trying to determine is somebody impaired, right? And so we use the same kind of roadside tests, right? We use the HGN, which is the looking at the eyes, and different categories of drugs will show HGN, what we're looking for there, depressants like alcohol, inhalants, and things like dissociative anesthetics will all cause HGN. But then we also just do the classic, like I'm sure you've seen on the cop shows, the people walking on the line and people balancing on one foot. And impairment is impairment. So if somebody's super high on marijuana, they can still, they can't safely operate a motor vehicle. And a lot of those things that we see is consistent across the board with impairment generally.
Have the numbers of marijuana-impaired drivers increased significantly since the legalization of recreational marijuana?
I don't have the numbers but specifically in front of me, but in my experience, absolutely.
Yeah, it just seems like a no-brainer that would happen. Speed limits. You know, you talk about speeding being a key factor in the 100 deadliest days of summer. It's always been interesting to me that back in the day when Montana did not have a speeding limit, that we actually had our safety statistics were better than after we got a speed limit again. And so I guess parse that one out for us. You know, why did we have more safe statistics when we had no speed limit, but yet speeding is still clearly a problem with fatalities today.
You know, I think a lot of people, when they see a speed limit like 80 miles an hour, they assume I have to drive 80 miles an hour. So that speed is the highest lawful speed limit under optimal conditions, right? So if you're driving through Big Timber and it's super windy and there's a bunch of snow on the ground, you don't have to do 80 miles an hour, and we would encourage you to drive at a speed that's appropriate for, we talked a little bit about congestion, road conditions, things like that. So I think people, when they see a speed limit like that, they assume that they have to do it.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, and I think people, you know, you should drive at a speed that you're comfortable with.
That's a really good point. Yeah, because what I like about the 80 mile per hour speed limit is it's fast enough to where the people who like to and feel comfortable driving at a faster pace, you're like, okay, that's good. Now I'm not, you know, dinking along on the drive all the way across the state. I can get to where I need to get to without speeding too quickly, right? But, you know, very good point. Like, if you're not comfortable driving 80, you don't have to drive 80. Just get in the right lane, stay out of folks' way, and pass when you need to pass. What a good point there.
Absolutely. Get there safely. That's what we want people to do, is we want people to get there safely.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, Sergeant John Metcalf with the Montana Highway Patrol, thanks for all you do. Great to catch up with you. Appreciate it. And, yeah, definitely let us know anytime you need to get the word out. That's why when we saw this opportunity to chat with you, we jumped on it right away, because we want to be here to get this important information out to the public, and especially life-saving information. Thanks for all you do. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
All right, you too. And actually, Sergeant Metcalf, stay on the line if you can. I got one more question I want to throw at you off air during the break here. And then coming up right after that, I'll tell you about who we got coming up next right after this.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Stephen Chung. Do you guys know who Stephen Chung is? Man, that guy's awesome. John Jackson calls him Odd Job, like the James Bond character. But it's not John being unwoke. Stephen Chung refers to himself as Odd Job from the James Bond series. But Stephen Chung is the communications director for President Donald J. Trump. And you guys have probably seen the video. How insane was this California senator yesterday? When I first saw the video and heard the news reports, I figured it was some state senator from California. What kind of a United States senator would be this stupid to pull a stunt like this? But nope, apparently his name is Padilla, and he's a United States senator. Anyway, Stephen Chung said this. He says, thank you to all the media outlets for playing the Senator Alex Padilla freakout. It shows the public what a complete lunatic Padilla is by rushing towards Secretary Noem and disturbing the informative press conference. Yeah, this guy looked like a complete nut job trying to lunge at the Secretary of Homeland Security while she's in the middle of a press conference. He starts shouting out, yelling out, and then when law enforcement and her protective detail, you know, pushes him back and is protecting the secretary from, they don't know who this nut job is that's trying to rush towards her, he then starts fighting with the Secret Service and the FBI and the protective detail that was there. It's like, what a nut job. And now, of course, you know, they're trying to paint him as the victim, and Chuck Schumer and Cory Booker are crying on the Senate floor about it. Anyway, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that whole story, plus Israel taking out the top terrorist IGRC leadership in Tehran and going after their nuclear facilities. Definitely want to get to your phone calls this morning, 406-294-0970. But first, you know, earlier this week, we were talking with, I shared some audio. We were talking about the upcoming Montana GOP convention. And I posted a story earlier this week featuring my conversation with Don Kay. Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP. And the gist of the story here real quick was that, you know, Don Kay has had an incredibly successful tenure as chairman of the Montana Republican Party. Helped raise $32 million, All statewide offices are now held by Republicans, and the GOP finally knocked out liberal Senator John Tester. But with Don Kaye no longer running for party chair, could the wheels come off the GOP? So I was talking about that story earlier this week, and Don Kaye had mentioned how there's apparently four candidates in the running that he's aware of that are seeking to be the next chair of the Montana Republican Party. And anyway, I got a message from one of those candidates, and he said, hey, can I come on the show? And I said, heck yeah. I said, you can either call into the show or we can schedule you as well. And by the way, that same opportunity is available to any of the candidates for chair of the Montana GOP. Art Wittick, great to have you on the phone lines right now. A longtime legislator out of the Bozeman area. And one of the most conservative members of the legislature during his tenure as well. And Art, great to hear from you.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on. Good to hear from you, too.
Yeah. Well, talk about why you're running for chairman of the Montana Republican Party. I know there's a few great names in the mix. I mean, Stacey Zinn was the head of the DEA. Apparently she's running. And then Troy Miller, who, you know, is doing a great job with the Gallatin County Republicans right now. Apparently he's thrown his name into the ring. And then Tanner Smith, who ran against Governor Gianforte, lost in the primary last year. Apparently he's throwing his name in the mix as well. So tell us why you decided to run for this position.
Well, I saw your story and you talked about potentially the wheels going off the bus. And I wanted to call in. I don't think it's that way at all. I think the party is strong. It's positioned to be stronger. When you see some of this fighting and factionalism and frustration, frankly, among various people in the party, you know, the party is the activists. There's about 1,000 GOP party members. They're the activists of the grassroots, right? 350,000 people voted for the governor and President Trump. So, you know, the party is a small association, but it's the active members. And I see it full of energy. I think that it's we're going to have our best days ahead. And, you know, but I did kind of like your analogy as far as a bus, because what happened after the last session, you know, you probably played sports. I played football. You come back from a game, you're on the bus, and you have this sinking feeling that members of your team weren't playing on your side. You know, they were either fumbling the ball or missing tackles or missing blocks. And that happened this last legislature. And it has kind of happened for the last 15 years. It happened when I was there. And so people are really frustrated. And I think what's going to happen as a result of that is the party is going to get more involved with protecting its brand, with getting involved with some primaries. And you know, it's not about purity. It's about honesty. It's letting the voters know what the party stands for, what its people stand for. And if they don't stand for the principles of the Republican Party, such as freedom and limited government, they're going to let people know. Unfortunately, Aaron, I think that there are many people in Montana that are underrepresented right now. They went to the polls. They saw a Republican candidate, they voted for a Republican candidate, and then they find out later that that person wasn't really working with other Republicans.
And voted repeatedly with the Democrats, and not just on Medicaid expansion, but on a whole host of increased spending measures, weakening legislation to block, you know, foreigners from interfering in our elections. I mean, it was just time and time again. It's like, what are you guys doing? I totally agree with you. I think that the state is so solid red right now that no matter which way the party went, that Montana is going to remain solid red. I think Donald Trump has solidified that demographic, given his popularity in the state. But and I think that even if the party got took over by somebody who couldn't raise any money, that money will go somewhere, maybe to third parties, and then that will be the effort taking the fight to the other side or taking the fight to the primaries. But nonetheless, it makes it more challenging if the wheels come off of the party.
Oh, for sure. But I also think the party is best positioned to be the organization that can do that. when you look at right now what's happening, the Dems have all sorts of funding sources, right? The Republicans, there aren't really organized conservative groups like there used to be. And
yeah.
So the party can fill that void better than any organization can. And you're right. The state is red, and people are voting with their feet, leaving blue states, coming here. We're going to continue to grow. But I think it's not just Republicanism or growing the brand. I think we need more conservative governance. It's our opportunity. You know, we're one of many red states. It's interesting to watch what those other red states are doing. And they are putting their conservative ideals into practice and finding that they have more prosperity. They're attracting more people. And that same thing could happen to Montana if, you know, we have every statewide office. We have every federal office. The one thing we're lacking, the only thing we're lacking, is a good, solid legislature. So my goal, and the reason I threw my hat in the ring about a week and a half ago, was to fix that issue. I think I'm the only candidate that has had that legislative experience that can put our goals and our objectives into action and work with the party activists to, to make the future better and brighter and redder.
Yeah, well, very interesting. Well, Art Wittig, great to get your phone call. Great to get your perspective and take. And, yeah, looking forward to seeing everybody. I'll actually be emceeing the dinner, the banquet, the night before. I think the elections are set to take place. So we look forward to seeing you there. And, yeah, definitely call in again here. And of course, the same opportunity is open to not just the other candidates in the race, but, frankly, to anybody across Montana. We love taking phone calls. So, Art, thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you again.
Thanks, Aaron. Keep up the good work.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Let's go to Mark in Fort Benton next up on the phone lines, wanting to weigh in on this California Senator Padilla lunging at Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem and then fighting with law enforcement after they prevented him from, you know, lunging towards the secretary during the press conference. Mark, what's your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
Well, hello, Aaron. Now, this is Mark number two, because you just interviewed Mark number one. How's that?
Which Mark was that? That was Art.
Oh, I thought it was Mark was his name you were
Well, saying. Either way. Yeah, yeah. Isn't there a country song? Isn't there a country song about you just call me, you know, Bill or Bob or, you know, anything but Sue, right?
Anything, yeah. Good one. Well, Aaron, I'm kind of concerned in this way. Okay, our conservative news medias, and anyone you want to go on, cover the actual facts of what happened on this Padilla attack on, then you know, Secretary Noem. But does anybody watch the liberal shows like The View or CNN or any of those others that, and maybe Main Street media stations that we talk about, that show the same facts as we portray them, or do they slant it and not show the full coverage? I don't even watch any of the liberal stuff. But wouldn't it be good to maybe run an ad up by the RNC or Montana's Republican, committee to run some special ads on the regular medias, or let's say call mainstream medias, that would show, hey, here are the facts, and if you want to know more facts, start listening to us in these special media broadcasters.
Good point. Yeah, look at the way they lied about Joe Biden's cognitive abilities. Look at the way they lied about Russia. Look at the way they lied about COVID. Look at the way they lied about everything. And now, yeah, so many of them are lying about what took place in L.A. yesterday and the riots all around. That's why X is so important. Great point, Mark.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
USDA raised its 2024 through 2025 U.S. wheat export estimates to 820 million bushels. That's up from 800 million in May in its latest World Egg Supply and Demand Estimates report. For 2025 through 26, beginning stocks of wheat remain unchanged at 840 million bushels. Production and yield projections also held steady at 1.9 billion bushels and 51.6 bushels per acre for U.S. farmers. Ending stocks were lower to 890 million bushels of wheat. That's down from 923 million. As for the farm gate price for producers, it rose by a dime to $5.40. Globally, wheat production was slightly increased to 808.59 million metric tons. As for corn, the WASDE report put USDA's cut of old crop ending stock estimate at 50 million bushels, lowering the 2025 through 26 new crop ending stocks to 1.75 billion bushels. The new crop is projected at 15.82 billion bushels with a yield of 181 bushels per acre. As for the projected farm gate price for U.S. corn, it's currently sitting at $4.20 a bushel. Exports of that crop are also projected at 2.67 billion bushels of corn. I'm Lane Nordblond.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm going to sneak in another caller here. Then we got a great guest to join us on the phone lines from Sheridan. Wait till you hear his story. Very cool. So we'll get to that here in a second. And then after that guest, we'll take more of your phone calls here. So if you want to call in, get in the queue, 406-294-0970. I went to refill my coffee cup during the break. I should have checked the messages on the Montana Talks app, but you can do that. You can send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you've got something you want to share with folks all across Montana and northern Wyoming as well. Heck, we even got listeners all the way up in Canada that tune in for Freedom Friday because, you know, Canada isn't really about the whole freedom thing that much anymore. Let's see. One quick thing I wanted to share here. So this ties in with what Mark in Fort Benton was talking about. You know, if it wasn't for social media platforms like X giving you the real information, if it wasn't for some more conservative outlets giving you the real information, what is MSNBC? What is The View? You know they are outright spinning and lying about this Padilla guy and his attempted attack on the Homeland Security Secretary yesterday. I mentioned Stephen Chung. Stephen Chung, President Trump's communications director, sent out that tweet saying how thankful he was that news outlets are playing the video of Padilla's outlandish stunt yesterday, because it's showing what a whack job that guy is. Even CNN's legal analyst apparently called out Padilla. Here you go. Stephen Chung says this. Even CNN's legal expert shames CNN's anchor, Casey Hunt, with the facts about Senator Alex Padilla's unhinged actions during the press conference.
You have the DHS secretary who is addressing the press. This was not a Q&A period, and she's interrupted. She's interrupted by someone who is speaking very loudly. And so her security detail confronts what we obviously now know to be the senator. And at that point, he is now going to be escorted out. You can't interrupt something like that that's already in progress without having those consequences. But the second incident, in my view, happens the moment as officers are trying to lead him out, he then turns and walks back towards, kind of into those agents. At that point, from a security detail perspective, we're taking this person out against their will.
Yeah, so even CNN's legal expert is like, California senator was clearly in the wrong on multiple fronts here. So he threw a little rain on their parade there. Let's go to Perry in Columbus. Perry, good to hear from you on this Freedom Friday. What's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. You know, in this run to our military and our country's 250th birthday, I just want to remind everybody that what they already know, that freedom is not free. In my 66 years, I've seen it proven over and over again. As a conservative, patriotic, constitutional republic-oriented citizen of this country, what was it Christopher Wray said? The lights are flashing red everywhere. That bogus FBI director, that part of Biden's sock puppets administration.
Yeah.
And I got to ask, here I'll just postulate a question. Maybe you can answer in a minute. But the what would you suppose would have happened if Alejandro Mayorkas would have been rushed by Ted Cruz?
Ted Cruz is a little more recognizable. What if some other member of Congress that it's like, who's that guy? I don't know. Anybody else had rushed Alejandro Mayorkas? Wow, the consequences that Republican would have faced, right?
Right. And, you know, the thing is it looks like the desperation level is going through the ceiling with the radical American left. And we have to be really careful right now, first of all, not to overreact, but secondly, not to fail to defend ourselves when we're faced with radical violence. And with this No Kings Weekend coming up, I guess I'll just finish with, was Columbus one of the towns on the list of these festivities this weekend?
There's about 13 different Montana towns that are listed. I can't remember if Columbus was on the list or not, but it wouldn't surprise me. You'll get the band of blue-haired, rainbow flag-waving, Hamas terrorist flag-waving, pick your ribbon, what are we protesting today, pro-illegal aliens, defund ICE. I mean, the same crowd that showed up in Whitefish earlier this week protesting the Border Patrol there. Well, you know, every town's got at least a handful of them, right? Even in Columbus, Montana. Hey, Perry, great to hear from you. Greatly appreciated. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Well, it is Freedom Friday. And of course, you know, we always like to highlight some good patriotic stuff on Freedom Friday. Tomorrow is the 250th birthday for our United States Army, and it's great to have a fellow Army veteran on the phone lines with us right now. He's down in Sheridan, Wyoming. I think he's got an event in the Casper area later today, but it was about a year ago, my friend Greg Franks at the Summit Cigar Lounge in Billings said, hey, you got to try one of these Blanco cigars. And man, what a really good cigar. You know, I love the Tatanka cigar from Rocky Mountain Liquors out of Helena. I love the Cattle Baron cigar by Brian Massard at Reminis Angus out of Dillon. But I'll tell you what, these Blanco cigars are great. But David Blanco himself of the Blanco cigar family was in Montana earlier this week. He's now down in Wyoming. And David, yeah, fellow Army veteran as well. You know, it's such a fitting tribute to have you on the show here on Freedom Friday before the Army's 250th birthday because, you know, when I was in Iraq and Afghanistan, enjoying a cigar was about the only thing you could enjoy over there.
True story. Thank you for having me, and happy Freedom Friday the 13th.
That's right. It sure feels like a Friday the 13th, listening to the news, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. It's a pleasure and honor to be here. Thank you for having me, Aaron, and it was a pleasure meeting you the other night at Greg's place at Summit Cigars, and the other guys you just mentioned with their cigars. I know them both, good friends, and Ken over there at Rocky Mountain, also a customer. I've done some business with him, and he does have some Blanco cigars in his location as well over there in Helena.
Yeah, that Capital Cigar Club is a great location. You know, Jimmy Fallon from Fox News, he was doing a comedy show in Helena. He came and met us for a cigar afterwards. So it was a great facility, great time. Yeah. You know, also fitting for a Freedom Friday, you're a fellow Army veteran. You've got, man, over 20 years of service. So you joined long before I did, and you're still being called back to service as we speak. But I love your Cuban-American family history. If I remember right, your family cigar line, you're in Tampa now, but you guys got started back in Cuba in like the 1880s or something. While a lot of these family ranches were getting started in Montana, your family cigar company was getting started in Cuba.
That's correct. Our family came from Spain to Cuba in 1886. They started growing tobacco in Pinar del Rio, which is, the Vuelta Abajo, or the big region of Cuban tobacco where it's grown, even known today. And for four generations, our family was in Cuba doing and growing that business until the 60s, of course, with the Cuban Revolution. Our family migrated here under threat of death by the Castro regime. And I was the first one in my family. So the cigar tobacco industry was basically a heritage that was lost to me, or would have been lost to me, had I not, as a young adult, decided to try to get back into the family.
Yeah, your cell phone signal broke up just a touch there. But, yeah, since I got a chance to hear a little bit of your story earlier, you grew up in Chicago, Chi-Town. Yeah, I got to live south of Chicago for a few years. Talk about some good restaurants and more there. Yeah, and just, you know, you being a military veteran, I've gotten a chance to serve with so many incredible Cuban Americans that it just – they've got that extra fire in their belly because they know just how precious this freedom truly is.
True story. I will tell you that my family is a military family. My father has done 40 plus years in uniform and as a civilian DOD, contractor and DOD employee. My uncle is a retired 20-year plus Vietnam veteran. My brother is a Marine. My other brother was in the Army. I'm in the Army. So service to our country is one of the patriotic things that we feel is part of our obligation as citizens, and we contribute in any way we can.
About 30 seconds or so before I go to our next break, and then we can catch up more after that if you can stick around, too. You got an event later today in Casper. We do have some listeners that pick us up in northern Wyoming. Is that a public event? Can people come down and join you if they're going to be in the area?
Yes, they can. The event is going to be at a brewery, believe it or not, but it's going to be through Ash Premium Cigars, which is one of the two cigar lounges in the Casper area. It's in Evansville, Wyoming, actually. So if you go to, or like to call Ash Premium Cigar Shop, Evansville, and find out the location of the brewery where we're going to be having this event, please do. I'll be there at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Awesome. All right. Well, quick break here with Montana Talks and your chance to call in. If you want to round out Freedom Friday for us, call now, 406-294-0970. Back right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is great. I didn't even realize that David Blanco with Blanco Cigars is going to be up in Sealy Lake. Hey, you want to go celebrate the Army's 250th birthday with an Army veteran with a great cigar and some great Montana friends? Yeah, very cool. David Blanco, so you're in the Casper area later today down in Wyoming, and then you're making the run all the way back to Sealy Lake, Montana. That's going to be a great event.
Absolutely. It's going to be a barn burner of a drive, but I'm going to be up at the Chicken Coop and Lounge with a bunch of buddies of mine that are from Out of the Box Cigar Lounge there in Missoula. And I'll be there at 4 o'clock till 9 o'clock p.m., obviously celebrating the Army's 250th anniversary, as well as hanging out with a bunch of Mason and Shriners up there. They're having an event up there with the Shriners as well.
Oh, that Chicken Coop is great. That's a fun spot. Yeah, you're going to love Sealy Lake as well. And I just realized when you told me you were going to be there, I remember them, you know, Ken and Truman. They've got a great cigar lounge there in Missoula as well. Really cool event. Have you been to that cigar lounge in Missoula before?
I have, actually. A year and a half ago, I did an event up there with them and introduced our cigars to their shop, as well as the private lounge that they have. And I recommend anybody that's in the Missoula area, if you haven't visited them, to go check that out. Even if you haven't, if you're not a huge cigar smoker, it's a great place to hang out and commiserate and have the camaraderie there. A lot of good people up there.
All of these cigar lounges have like a different feel to them. You know, Greg's, the Summit in Billings has this Frank Sinatra speakeasy feel to it. Then, you know, the Capitol Club in Helena feels like a Western cattle baron steakhouse. And then the Missoula one, it literally feels like you are on a movie set out of The River Runs Through It. It just the art and the brick and the classic old building, it's got just such a cool feel to it.
It really does. And that's the beauty of all these cigar lounges, that they all have their own identity, and it's pretty much fomented by the owners. They all have a different vision. You know, sometimes it's a speakeasy, or another one, it's like, you know, Jackson Hole type hunting lodge feel. And I mean, everybody's got their own spin on what luxury and a warm feel is, but they're all inviting. They all have their characters. It's almost like the Cheers show with Norman guys. You all got characters in every one of those cigar shops. So
that's right.
It's always fun to meet these guys. And I will say that most of them have a, not all, but most of them have a conservative-leaning aspect to them. So they'll fit in very well right here on Freedom Friday.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, obviously you don't make your family cigars in Cuba anymore. You moved the production, I think, down to Nicaragua. And then you had a great cigar manufacturing, Ybor City in Tampa. I had to go back to Tampa for a SOCOM event, and I made sure that I got to go visit Ybor City and that great Colombian restaurant there and much more. What goes into making a good cigar?
Great tobacco, great fermentation process of the tobacco, which is different from cigarettes. They don't ferment the tobacco. A blending capability, because most of the cigars, which most people don't know, are 3 to 5 different tobaccos. So the blending is in there. And then, of course, you have to have a great hand-rolled product, so you need a great roller. Those are the four basic tenets, but it all starts with the tobacco, and that's what our family does down in Nicaragua. The Placencia family are my cousins, and they are the preeminent tobacco-growing family in the industry. So it all starts there.
Well, great to have you on the show. Better yet, it was great to meet you in person earlier this week, and I know a lot of folks will look forward to seeing you and trying out your cigars in Sealy Lake tomorrow.
I really appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to coming back to Montana every year as long as there's leaves on the trees and no snow on the ground.
I was going to say, you picked a good time to come, that's for sure. All right, David Blanco, Blanco Cigars, that was fun. Thanks so much, Chef, for calling in and joining us on the show. I could have just said he's in Sheridan, and people would be like, okay, so is he in Sheridan, Montana? Is he in Sheridan County, which are both in complete opposite ends of the state of Montana? Yeah, he's in Sheridan, Wyoming. And actually, I think our Billings radio signal can push down that far, too, on 970 KBUL, our flagship station here. All right, just a couple of minutes left here. What should we leave you with here? So, you know, we talked about this Padilla character down in California trying to bum rush the Homeland Security Secretary and then fighting with law enforcement. Let's see. And then the news out of Israel. Let's go to that. Let's end with that. We didn't really talk much about Israel going after the IGRC terrorist in Tehran and taking out some of their nuclear weapons capabilities as well. Here you go. This is Ted Cruz on with Sean Hannity last night.
The enrichment level was too great. The breakout time was less than a month. They would have the 15 nuclear weapons. The Israelis are not lying about it. And I have to believe those people that believe in a caliphate, convert or die, and threaten to wipe Israel and the U.S. off the map, based on also being the number one state sponsor of terror, if they got the weapon, they'd use it. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. You're absolutely right. I believe this was inevitable, and it was rendered more inevitable today by decisions of the Ayatollah in Iran. Listen, President Trump has been clear for a long time that his red line is that Iran must completely dismantle their nuclear capacity, must disassemble their nuclear centrifuges where they are enriching uranium. And President Trump made clear they could either do so peacefully through diplomacy, or those centrifuges would be dismantled kinetically through military conflict. We're seeing the latter tonight. And this morning, Iran publicly stated no, they would not dismantle their centrifuges. And in fact, they said they would build more, they would enrich more. The Ayatollah made the decision, we are going to plunge head first towards getting a nuclear weapon. And
all right, anyway, he completed by saying, this is why we stand with Israel. Bannock, Montana. That's where the outlaw sheriff Henry Plummer arrived at after serving time in San Quentin. He was hanged by vigilantes in 1864. Hey, for the next 6 weeks, we're sharing Montana trivia as we highlight each of Montana's 7 tourism regions. This week, Southwest Montana, and your chance to enter and win a Virginia City getaway. To win this week's getaway, go to visitmt.com/giveaway. Visitmt.com/giveaway.